Let's turn together in our Bibles to Job chapter 38, continuing our series through the book of Job. If you are visiting with us, we've been working through Job together. We've seen the Lord speaking to Satan, saying to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job?" Satan tempts Job, taking away all of Job's earthly possessions and pleasures, taking his family away from him so that even his wife and friends turn against him. But in all this, Job did not sin. And then Job's friends have been speaking to Job over the past few chapters, speaking true things at times, but applying it in the wrong way and really increasing Job's suffering. They've been saying to Job, "Well, if you've been enduring this, you must have done something wrong to endure this." But over the past chapters, we've noticed that the Lord has been silent, that the Lord has not been speaking or answering any of these questions that Job has had. So today we're going to see the Lord speaks. The title of our sermon is "The Lord Responds to Job from the Whirlwinds." We're going to be reading from chapter 38, but I do encourage you to keep your Bibles open as we're going to be looking at a few of these chapters here from 38 all the way down to 40, reading various verses. So let's read from Job 38, that's page 522. "Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, 'Who is this that darkens counsel by the words without knowledge? Dress for action like a man. I will question you, and you will make it known to me. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? On what were its bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone? When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Or who shut in the sea with doors when it burst out from the womb? When I made clouds its garments and thick darkness its swaddling band and prescribed limits for it and set bars and doors and said, 'Thus far you shall come and no further, and here shall your proud waves be stayed.' Have you commanded the morning since your days began, and caused the dawn to know its place, that it might take hold of the skirts of the earth, and the wicked be shaken out of it? It is changed like clay under the seal, and its features stand out like a garment. From the wicked their light is withheld, and their uplifted arm is broken. Have you entered into the springs of the sea, or walked in the recesses of the deep? Have the gates of death been revealed to you, or have you seen the gates of deep darkness? Have you comprehended the expanse of the earth? Declare if you know all this. Where is the way to the dwelling of light, and where is the place of darkness, that you may take it to its territory, and that you may discern the paths of its home? You know, for you were born then, and the number of your days is great. Have you entered the storehouses of the snow, or have you seen the storehouses of hail, which I reserve for the time of trouble or for the day of battle and war? What is the way to the place where light is distributed, or where the east wind is scattered upon the earth?" And that's as far as we're going to be reading. I do encourage you to keep your Bibles open as we look at these chapters and verses together. We pray for the blessing of our God upon the preaching of His Word. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, when God speaks, it is wise to listen. But when God speaks, He does not always give us the answer that we are looking for. As you will remember, the book of Job opens with the Lord speaking to Satan. The Lord says to Satan, "Satan, from where have you come? Satan, have you considered my servant Job?" But after this opening introduction of the Lord's interaction with Satan over the past few chapters, the bulk of this book, we have seen that the Lord has been silent. Earlier we saw that Job was the suffering servant. Job could have cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And there is nothing but silence. Job is suffering in silence. But today that silence is broken. Finally, the word of the Lord proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. As we read in Isaiah 55, when the Lord speaks, every word that he speaks accomplishes the purpose that he designs. But Isaiah also says, his ways are not our ways. His ways are beyond tracing out. His purpose, his design, will be carried, will be completed, but our purpose, our designs, are like a vapor. It's like a mist. So when the Lord speaks to Job, the answer that the Lord gives is not the answer that Job is looking for. But the fact remains, when God speaks, his people must listen. The question that Job has been asking over the past few weeks is, why is this happening to me? Where is my vindication? Will not the judge of the earth do what is right? You remember that Job refused to accuse God of wrong. He refused to curse God and die. But Job has been questioning, why has this been happening to me? I do not deserve this. And the answer that the Lord gives is something like this. Job, who are you to question me? Where were you, Job, when I did all these things? If you are looking for wisdom, if you think you are wiser than me to question my work, where were you when I made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them? If you will remember, back in chapter 31, verse 35, Job says this, "Let the Almighty answer me. Let the Almighty answer me." Well, today the Lord starts to answer Job, but the answer that the Lord gives comes in the form of a question. So Job is asking God to give a reason for all these things that have happened to him, and now the Lord responds, and the Lord says to Job, "Job, you better get ready, because I'm going to come to you, and I'm going to come like the mighty torrent. I'm going to come like a thunderstorm." 38, verse 3, "Get ready, Job, I'm about to answer." 40, verse 2, "Can you contend with God?" 40, verse 7, "Get ready for the trial, Job, here comes the answer." So today we consider this theme. Jesus Christ teaches Job humility as he reveals the wisdom of the Creator. So Jesus Christ is going to teach Job humility as he reveals the wisdom of the Creator. Our text begins in 38 verse 1, where the Lord answers Job out of the whirlwind. And you remember when the Lord reveals himself to his people, the most common and right response is this, "Woe to me," right? "Woe to me," Isaiah said, "I'm a man of unclean lips." Every man from Isaiah to Moses struck by the power of God when God speaks from the whirlwind. So the Lord begins to speak to Job out of the glory cloud, and he says to Job, "Why are you speaking like this? Who are you to teach me wisdom?" the Lord says. "Do you have the right to question me and my works? Where were you, finite, fallen man? Job, let's go for a walk. Job, let's walk for a moment and let's consider the things of my hand, the works of my arm. Job, if you are so wise, you can answer me this question. How far is the expanse of this creation? How far is the expanse of the heavens?" Isaiah will say that the Lord can measure the heavens with the breadth of his hand. "Job, where were you when I made light and I made darkness? Where were you, Job, when I caused the water to burst forth And then I put a hedge around it, saying to the ocean and to the sea, you can come this far and no further. Where were you, Job, when I set the earth on the pillars and laid its foundations? Verse 38, verse 4. Where were you when I laid the foundations? Tell me if you have understanding. You who determines its measurement, surely you know. You know how great and how wide and how expansive everything is. Verse 8, the border of the sea. Verse 31, Job, do you know how I set the stars in their various constellations? When you look up at the heavens and you see this star and that star in its proper place, surely you know, Job, how these things came to be. And the weather, Job, you know how it is that hail comes down and snow and clouds and vapor. Surely you can control the weather. Surely you, Job, the man of wisdom, the mighty man of the east, can cause the sea to evaporate and form clouds and cause the hail and rain and snow to come down and water the earth and then re-evaporate and return to the heavens. Surely you, the wisest man of all the world, knows how all these things were made. So in answering Job's question, the Lord starts by saying, do you, can you, where were you, who has done all these things? That's not the answer Job was looking for. But the answer that the Lord gives in asking these questions, if you look at the beginning of these verses, who is it, where were you? Have you done these things? But the Lord is not yet done. Okay, Job, you can't control darkness and light. Job, you can't control the boundary of the sea. Job, you cannot control the stars and the planets in their orbit. I do, by the way. But you do not. Let's move a little closer to home, Job. Let's look at the creatures that I have made. Let's compare your might, your wisdom, your power to the creatures that I have filled this earth with. Let's consider the creatures. Do you have the ability to go toe to toe with the beasts of this earth? If your power is nowhere near my power, the Lord is saying, let's compare your power to the beasts that I have made. Now, there are two unique creatures that we read here. And if you have your Bibles open, I do encourage you to first, we're going to read of the behemoth. The behemoth is found in chapter 40. And we'll start at verse 15. 40, verse 15. Behold, behemoth! Which I made as I made you. He eats grass like an ox. Behold, his strength is in his loins and his power in the muscles of his belly. He makes his tail stiff like a cedar. The sinews of his thighs are knit together. His bones are tubes of bronze and his limbs like bars of iron. He is the first of the works of God. Let him who made him bring near his sword. And then moving on a little bit further on, verse 23, behold, if the river is turbulent, he is not frightened. He is confident, though the Jordan rushes against his mouth. Can one take him by his eyes or pierce his nose with a snare? The Lord takes Job by the hand and presents the mighty behemoth. Now, the word behemoth simply means beast. It's applied to a host of different creatures, everything from an animal to a hippopotamus. The behemoth, the Lord says, is the pinnacle of the Lord's creation, the first work of his hand. The behemoth was the apex predator of the land, if you will, and no one could stand in his way. He is mighty in all areas. In limb, in jaw, in tail. He is covered in muscle. Now, we don't know exactly what creature this was describing, but he was huge and awe-inspiring. And when he looks at the behemoth, Job is forced to consider the great works that the Lord has hand. So just put it into today's language. Let's compare the behemoth kind of like a hippo or an elephant. The Lord is saying to Job, Job, can you wrestle a hippo and win? Job, can you lift up an elephant and place it in its proper location? Can you lead these by the hand? Can you put a collar on an elephant? Can you put your rope around the neck of a hippopotamus and lead it like a dog? Job, these are the creatures that I have made, and you are nothing compared to them. Well, how about the Leviathan? This is chapter 41. The Leviathan, chapter 41. Can you draw out the Leviathan with a fish hook or press down his tongue with a cord? Can you put a rope in his nose or pierce his jaw with a hook? Will he make many pleas with you? Will he speak to you with soft words? A little bit further on, verse 7. Can you fill his skin with harpoons or his head with fishing spears? Lay your hands on him. Remember the battle. You will not do it again. The Leviathan. The Leviathan is given as the largest water reptile. This massive sea serpent was a mighty foe whose hide could not be pierced with hook or harpoon. It's interesting in the description, if you still have your Bibles open, look at 41 verse 21, where the Leviathan is compared to a fire-breathing dragon. Something that you could not and never would go to battle against. Filling the hearts of men with fear. We could today compare it to a crocodile or perhaps a shark. No one is going to challenge a great white shark to a swimming race. No parent is going to let their child play with crocodiles. These things are mighty. They are fearsome. So the Lord takes Job by the hand and he brings him to creation. Job, consider the Leviathan, look at the behemoth. Each stand as the pinnacle, the princes of the water and the sea. And guess what, Job? I made these. These creatures I give food to. I give shelter to. They are the products of my hand. You cannot catch them. You cannot restrain them. You cannot control them. And yet I feed them from my hand. Later on in chapters 38 through 39, it continues this walk throughout the creation. 38 through 39, you'll read of the lion, the horse, the mountain goat, the hawk, and even the ostrich. The Lord is taking Job by the hand. Let's look at the creatures in this world. I brought these forth by my wisdom and my power. They all tell of my glory and my might. Job, you did not make these. You do not care for these. You cannot control these. And yet I have and I do. So to review, when the book of Job opens, the first thing that the Lord does is question Satan. Where have you come from and have you considered my servant Job? Now when the Lord starts to speak to Job, the first thing that the Lord does is start to question him. Have you considered the works of my hand? The sun, moon, and stars, the ocean, the planets, the passing of seasons, the water cycle, and the creation of rain, hail, and snow. Have you considered my creatures? the behemoth and the leviathan. Job, this world is so much bigger than you realize. Each creature has its place and purpose, and nothing is outside of my control. So if we put it in the context, when Job is asking the question, why are these things happening? The Lord's answer is to teach Job about creation and providence. That is how the Lord answers Job's question. Job, let me teach you about creation and providence. Nothing happens outside of my control, Job. Without my willing it, no creature can move or be moved. Instead of just telling Job the answer that he wanted, the answer that the Lord gives is to change Job's focus, to change what Job was looking at. You see, brothers and sisters, sometimes the answer to our prayers that the Lord gives us is to change our focus, to change our perspective, so that we stop looking at this one small part of our life and we start looking out and looking up and seeing who made everything. Isn't that the same thing that Jesus did in Matthew chapter 6? Matthew chapter 6, the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus said, why are you so filled with anxiety and dread? Why are you so nervous and anxious? The Lord says, consider the lilies of the field. Look at the birds of the air. The solution to your anxiety is to consider creation and providence. To know that God is in control, that these mighty creatures, the behemoth and the leviathan, they cannot move unless the Lord moves them. They cannot be fed unless the Lord feeds them. Consider the lilies. Look at the birds. Rest in the power, wisdom, and might of God. That's the first lesson that the Lord is teaching Job. That's the first answer that God gives us to our prayers. Look to my hand, trust in my work. Job, you know that I am your shelter. I am your shade. We saw this a couple weeks back. I have provided for you a redeemer. Rest in my love, Job. Rest in me as your heavenly Father. Your redeemer will rescue you. Your deliverance, your vindication will come in good timing. But until then, rest in my power and my presence. That was the answer that Job needed to hear. Rest in my power and my presence. Consider the works of my hand. Well, now that Job has had a lesson on creation and providence, after being reminded of the Lord's power and wisdom and might, Job responds. And the response that Job gives is in 40 verse 3. After the Lord takes Job by the hand and looks at the heavens and creation, everything on the earth and things in the water, 40 verse 3, then Job answered the Lord and said, behold, I am of small account. What shall I answer you? I lay my hand on my mouth. I have spoken once and I will not answer twice, but I will proceed no further. Job's answer is this, Lord, I am small. I have spoken of things I did not understand. Woe is me. I am a man of unclean lips. I put my hand over my mouth because I realize now I have spoken and I should not have questioned your power. I am inadequate. I cannot stand in your presence. Why should I doubt that you are God when I see all the things that you have made? Why should I doubt that you are in control and that your purpose is good when I know that you have made all things and that I am your child and you have sent your son to be my redeemer? Why would I question your goodness? It is from this position of humility that Job rightly worships. God's people are comforted when they remember, when they meditate upon God's powerful work. Particularly in times of trouble, particularly in times of difficulty, the Lord would have us look to his hand, to look to his works, to trust in the knowledge of God's fatherly love and care. Isn't that what Scripture says? I am so firmly in the hands of our loving Father, there is nothing that can separate you. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. Not height, not depth, not principality, not Satan, not the Leviathan, not the behemoth. There is nothing that can take me from the hands of my loving Father. And it's in this humility that Job is moved to worship. This is a biblical theme. Psalm 46 concludes by saying, "Be still and know that I am God." Habakkuk 2 verse 20, "The Lord is in his temple, let all the earth keep silent before him." Paul illustrates this in Romans chapter 9, where God is the potter and we are the clay. The potter has absolute sovereign right over the clay. Can the clay question the work of the potter? Can a creature resist the work of the creator? Ecclesiastes 5 verse 2, "God is in heaven and you are on earth, so let your words be few." Job takes this lesson to heart. Lord, you are right. I should not have questioned your power. I should not have questioned your wisdom. I don't have to ultimately have the answer, but I have to worship. I have to humble myself before your presence and before your power. The Lord is reminding Job of his place. Job has wandered beyond his proper position. He has questioned God. And the Lord says, "Job, remember who you are and remember who I am." So Job comes face to face with his own inadequacies. He says, "I am small, I'm of no account. I've spoken too quickly. I've spoken of things I don't understand. Now I see that you are God and you are in control. If you control where the stars in the sky go, if you control the movement of the prince of the water and the prince of the land, if the behemoth and the Leviathan are under your control, I should find comfort in this truth. I content myself with the fact," and for the students of the catechism, this should sound very familiar. "I am content that nothing happens outside of your control, so that leaf and blade, raindrop and snowflake, behemoth and leviathan, all things come to us and are under the control of the sovereign God. So that nothing happens by chance. So that when times are difficult, I can be patient. When times are good, I can be thankful. And concerning the future, I have a firm confidence and trust that I am so firmly in the hands of my loving Father that nothing can remove me, nothing can separate me from his love." In other words, brothers and sisters, the doctrine of creation and providence moves Job to worship. Right? Humbly coming before the Lord, Job acknowledges, "Lord, your ways are mysterious. Your ways are not my ways. I can't even fathom the works of your hand. I know you haven't forgotten me, Lord. Let God be God. He is not answerable to us. We must give our answer to him." And in this, Job's faith has been stirred. His trust in the Redeemer holds fast. He learns to trust God in times of darkness and silence, And when the light breaks forth and the voice of the Lord is heard, Job responds with humble worship. Job has overplayed his hand, and now he recognizes that he has spoken of things he did not understand. So he closes his mouth in humble, submissive worship. Now, before we close, one of the teaching tools that God often uses, we find the same thing with Jesus Christ, is that when he's asked a question, he responds with a question. You'll find that with Jesus Christ in two examples. First one in Matthew 22, Jesus was asked, who is the Son of Christ? Jesus asked, who is the Son of Christ? Is Christ the son of David, or is he David's Lord? Answer me this. And again in Mark chapter 11, when Jesus was questioned about his own authority, he posed the question about John the Baptist's authority. Was John from men, or was John from God? Jesus Christ humbles those who oppose him. Where in our text, when Job is asked the question, Job learns the lesson of humility, covers his mouth, and worshiped. But the Pharisees, when they were questioned by Jesus Christ, they did not respond in humble worship. They made plans to go out and crucify Christ. In other words, the lesson learned from creation does not have the same response on everyone. Romans 1 says that creation teaches us about God's eternal power and presence. But rebellious man suppresses the truth in unrighteousness and hardens his heart. It takes the spectacles of Scripture, it takes the hearing of God's word to properly understand the things in creation and move us to worship. God's eternal power and divine nature are truly on display. Although this knowledge through creation is not enough to reveal the identity of the Redeemer, in Job 19, we find the special revelation of the identity and work of Jesus Christ, the Redeemer who will stand on this earth and raise his people, giving them physical, everlasting life. The secret things belong to God, but these things revealed do belong to us. So when we, like Job, are taken by the hand of God into creation, and our thoughts, our reasoning, our mind is being guided and governed by the Spirit through his word, we can, like Job, see the beauty and wonder of our Creator God. And it can remind us, it can move us to humble worship. So like Job, whenever we come face to face with our own inadequacies, with our own inability, the proper response is humble worship. As Jesus taught in Matthew 6, if God takes care of all these creatures, won't he surely care for you? And you, Job, you are of so much more value than the lilies of the field, or the birds of the air, or the beasts of the sea. Job, you are my child. I am your father. I'm sending my son to be your redeemer. Job, you can question me. Even if you don't understand, you can rely on me. I'll hold you in my hand even if you don't understand. To conclude, as the Lord takes Job in a walk throughout creation today, he puts his power on display. Consider this, the Lord says. Look at that. Who made this? Who upholds that? Who controls this? Why do you question my wisdom? Why do you question my purpose? When you see that everything has a purpose and everything is firmly in my hand. No creature can move or be moved unless I send it. That applies to Satan, that applies to the Leviathan, that applies to the behemoth. There is no creature or power that can remove you from my hand. So as we see today, Jesus Christ teaches Job humility as he reveals the wisdom of the Creator. So God may not reveal everything to us. Some things remain hidden. But what God does reveal to us is sufficient for us and for our salvation. The secret things belong to the Lord, but the revealed things belong to us and to our children. So we may not know everything. Every one of our questions may not and likely won't be answered in this life. But what we see in creation and what we read in His Word is enough to move us to humble praise. So may we worship our God who reveals Himself in creation and in His Word. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank You for this a humbling reminder of the power and work of Your hand. May we, O Lord, trust in Your work. And even when we don't have the answers, may we content ourselves as a child on the lap of his parent, trusting that you are in control, that your purposes are good, that nothing is random, but all is being worked to your glory and for our good and our salvation. May we respond as Job does with humble worship as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.